I'm about kicking ass. Wow. I'm about taking names. Wow. I just keep names. A little bit faster. And if you don't feel it yet, you will. I'll promise you that. It's not simply new. It's not just more functions. We know that this is your third stop.
It's recording.
Shit. Oh yeah, all right. You guys want me to just say like, welcome to Pi Radio, and then we'll just go from there?
Sure.
It's fun.
Hey, it's always best to start with a joke to break the ice. So here's my joke. Kotaku.com.
No. I love
you and your jokes.
Okay, welcome to Pi Radio. This is episode 3. That's right, episode 3. It follows episode 2. And I am Grubdog, and I'm also joined by Bill.
Hey guys, long time no see. It's been
hey, late. Yeah. About a month.
Yeah, it's been that long, really? That was just a couple weeks ago.
Time flies. Yeah, we've also got Matto.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Matt, there you are. And also,
what else were you expecting me to say? Goddammit!
Hiya. Yeah, hey, it's been quite a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, I suppose we're just gonna go right into it, and we're gonna talk about what games we've been playing recently. By recently, I just mean vaguely since the last time we spoke. And the game on my mind
the
most. The
last game I played was Super Mario World. That's how long it's been.
Yeah, that game is still playable any day. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But you should be playing Mario Maker right now. Yeah, I guess that's a game we can talk about. That's a game I've been playing. Made about 12, 15 levels. And yeah, I'm really impressed by that. I've had a lot of fun with it.
You got more star ratings than I have, Rob. I'm pissed. I mean, that's right.
Okay, do you want me to just make cheater levels then?
Grub's always had more than me.
I actually haven't made a level in a few weeks. I should get back into it.
Yeah, I know.
It's really fun, just kind of... what surprised me about Mario Maker was just how... kind of you get into the zone of making a level. Like, it doesn't feel like you're just kind of doing work. It just feels like you're playing the game while making a level.
Yeah.
And it's really intuitive how you can just play what you've just made. Like, you put a few platforms like, oh, I wonder if this is going to work. Press, what is it, the plus button? I can't even remember. And then you just play it like, all right, that works. Or I'm like, maybe I'll just drag this platform away. But what I love most about it is just how the process itself is fun.
Right. Yeah, I think what makes Mario Maker so good is that it's a creation game, but it's a simple concept. So it doesn't have the frustrations that a lot of creator games have.
Little Big Planet.
It's sort of the same idea that like why Minecraft sort of like took off is because it's very simplistic, very easy for anyone of all ages to get into, and Mario Maker has that same idea. Except Mario games I think are better, but that's a different topic altogether.
Yeah, I think the core Mario gameplay is just something that's familiar with everybody.
Yeah, and I still need to get back into it. I just have not sat down to sort of actually think up some good courses, so I've sort of like put them on the back burner, unfortunately.
I get that feeling sometimes, but if you just boot up the maker, sometimes like it just starts happening. You get an idea like as you're making it.
Yeah. Well, I've sat with the game open for like an hour with me staring at my TV once, and that's never a very effective way to use your time.
Well, I just created a level yesterday.
You should just close your eyes then and just like stab the gamepad and see what happens.
I think there's plenty of those kind of courses on the list.
True.
Of courses to begin with.
Yeah, they call those expert levels, right?
I don't really have much of an opinion on Mario Maker because I've been kind of broke for the past year and a half. So,
oh,
yeah, life happens. Life is also shit. Shit happens.
Shit does happen.
But I can't. But I can't tell you we'll that I think it's probably a better game for a while, Minecraft. So. Because Minecraft, they're like, everybody's searching for a point, and they search for the point to play Minecraft while they film vlogs of it and ask you to watch them do it, and they get money, ad revenue for
it. Oh, God.
And it's, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about like, Minecraft is people, like, they recreate Mario in Minecraft or like Pokemon or whatever. Like in Mario, you don't see like Minecraft levels.
Yeah.
You do see other Nintendo games in that, like using the 8-bit characters. Everyone tries to make their own.
Yeah,
everyone tries to make a Metroid game or a Xenoblade game. Like we have tried.
I've made some levels.
Yeah.
Fun though.
Yeah, it is fun.
Kind of gives it
By no means do I feel that people that just try and make those other kind of games are less creative. I feel like it takes a little bit more creativity to actually make something with what few pieces you have. So it is good. So
one of the hardest stages I made was like a brand new idea. I just decided to kind of try and make my own theme, a stage called Rainbow Caves.
Mm-hmm.
And like that probably took me longest to make, but it was definitely the most satisfying to try and...
Oh, yeah. It's definitely...
Create your own little world inside a level.
Mm-hmm. What were you saying, Matt?
One thing I would add the ability to have hills and slopes.
Maybe for the next version.
I think it's possible they could add it. I mean, with slopes, like, you're going to add a lot of complications with other objects and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, it depends. If they can add it without fucking anything up, then I'd love to see it.
I think it would have to be saved for a future version of the game rather than adding it as DLC.
Yeah, maybe if they just create it from scratch on the new console, whatever that may be. We won't talk about that.
But I already mentioned it. Shit.
I'll just edit that part out. Okay, so that's Mario Maker. Good game. Fun game. Another game I've been playing is Splatoon.
Of course.
A whole lot of Splatoon.
I don't know what that is. What is that game?
It's a game that turns you into a squid.
You're a squid now, and then you're a kid now. You're a squid.
I still haven't decided if I'm a kid or a squid. I just love the game. It's basically Nintendo's like first competitive shooter, if you can even call it that. And they just knocked it out of the park. It is so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Controls are great.
Is good. I mean,
yeah, the universe is great.
It's like a shooter with good controls on a console.
No, I unfortunately am not being able to get as much as I want because my internet is really shit. So I'm always 2 seconds behind everyone else on the field. So the second I see someone, I'm already dead.
And despite the fact that I really suck at pretty much all of the game modes, it's still a fun game to play.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't... The game never really... Like, your punishment is to hear that wah, 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 like sort of music that you get at the end. That's really your only punishment.
Yeah. It makes you reflect on your life. All your choices made in the last 3 minutes. Like, oh, I should have covered that area instead, you know. Should have done this. Super jumped over there.
Splatoon success really shows that if you really want to create from the ground up, like, genre-changing, transformative... ideas, you have to do something that is your own idea, not just follow what everyone else does.
Oh yeah,
there's nothing like Splatoon.
Yeah, we've
when you look at like post-apocalyptic settings, everything is like all black and brown and just like destroyed, and then Splatoon is just colors everywhere.
It is a post Splatoon is a post-apocalypse setting.
Yeah. And like Splatoon, not just like the gameplay, but also like the musical style, the art style, it's all like brand new.
Yep. I
think it's a game that's defined Nintendo on the Wii U.
It definitely defines Nintendo, period. I mean, not only is it something that has not been seen in video games, I mean, it separates itself from all the other iconic Nintendo franchises. And I think that's going to really set it ahead of other sort of new IPs that Nintendo's done in the recent past. I mean, like, I would say it's even probably, like, definitely more distinguishable than Pikmin, and Pikmin I think is again a pretty distinguished, but I think Splatoon's has reached a higher level.
It's something where if you see it, you kind of get it straight away, like even though it's a brand new concept, it's communicated really well.
Personally for me, like as someone who has played like shooters, like Splatoon is pretty much one of the most interesting shooters because it's very easy to get into. Like, you don't feel off-put by, like, playing multiplayer, and the single-player mode is actually really fun. Though short.
Yeah, it's great. That's worth finishing the single-player because it just keeps ramping up, and the final boss is... It's one of the best final video game bosses I've ever played.
That's probably the only thing I would really want to see. I would like to see sort of a expansion and a little bit longer single player mode. And make it like co-op, like add co-op, like two-player mode to the campaign.
That's something I was expecting to see, but they haven't actually released any DLC yet. So far, that's another amazing thing about Splatoon is that all the weapons and all the stages that's been added so far, they're all just free updates.
Right. It's still DLC, it's just free DLC.
That's like
DLC.
Completely against the grain for what every other game is doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like Battlefront.
Like not just the money aspect, but the fact that everyone has the same equipment available to them, it's an inclusive online game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure, there's one guy bitching that he can't buy his way to victory because he can't get like some super secret weapon that only he has because he can pay $1,000.
But yeah, there's no shortcuts.
There's a part of Nintendo's internal DNA, the internal culture that just rejects that kind of stuff, that kind of I mean, this is a franchise that we're looking at for kids. Now, I'm doing a caveat for kids, but it's something that kids are playing a lot of. And they think that monetizing those people as in children, that way is something that even Iwata said it was, what, unwholesome?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So just for Splatoon, even if they I'm trying to think of a game Nintendo has a lot of microtransactions in. It isn't some kind of like mini game collection or some kind of superfluous thing like the Badge Arcade or something like that.
No, because that's really basic.
Yeah, like none of their core games really suffer from that problem. It's basically Badge Arcade, which is kind of exists just to be like one of those games. It's like really exaggerated, and it has a lot of badges. It's kind of
well, the best thing
about
Badge Arcade is the bunny. The bunny itself. The bunny is hilarious.
It's worth downloading just to hear what the bunny has to say about game economics.
And it's worth downloading.
Oh yeah, Pokemon Shuffle's got microtransactions too, but yeah. That's because it's a Candy Crush clone. Shh, don't tell nobody.
the other game that has some microtransactions is that Rusty's Real Deal baseball thing. And that game is worth getting because Rusty's just so depressing to listen to.
Well, you can
the most mature story ever written for a video game.
I didn't expect that. I don't know anything about that game.
Okay,
you can definitely see where. Oh,
Matt. Okay, you know what, Bill? Go ahead and finish. I'll explain the in-depth plot of Rusty's Real Deal baseball. Even though
I was just saying that at least like Nintendo's like definitely been. You can see where they've been sort of really looking at what games to actually include payable DLC in the microtransactions. It's not something that they're just throwing into every game possible like you see with the other publishers. You can see it's definitely they're more hardcore games like Fire Emblem, and then you have the free to play stuff, which is again the more casual stuff, but it's stuff that you don't really they're not like major titles. They're all the smaller titles. Now whether or not that continues to be moving on to the future, who knows? I mean, I'd rather not see it, but sort of the industry is sort of pushing that direction.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too worried. Like, that's mainly because of Nintendo's approach. Like, basically, other publishers would say, okay, how can we take advantage of people with this game?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Nintendo would say, okay, which game can we not compromise and still do this? You know, how can we, like, make it not affect the game experience?
Mm-hmm. Hopefully it stays that way.
Nintendo's been the most resistant to this kind of market push towards DLC and microtransactions. That's not to say they don't have DLC at all, but they've been the most resistant. They've been the most considerate of a consumer's right to have a feeling of their money having worth. Like they buy something and half of it's not locked away on some server somewhere. You know, I mean, when you buy Hyrule Warriors, there's a lot of DLC in that game, but what's there is already, you know, it's not like the maps are gone. It's not like more than half the characters are DLC.
You can still play that game for 100 hours without DLC.
Yeah. And I'm almost wondering if just because the industry is going this way, it means that it'll end up being like that. I remember the industry was trying to put in full motion video games for a long time, And the consumer base was finally enough. Yeah, they finally just threw their hands up and said enough, and then we haven't seen any FMV games since.
Mm-hmm.
At least none outside of Microsoft Studios.
Wait, Microsoft Studios.
Yeah, so back to Matt. You were going to explain Rusty's baseball?
So if you find out through the game that if Rusty has a terrible relationship with his wife and he's stuck looking after his, I think it was 7 or 8 puppies. And one of the puppies is basically like an in-game character who teaches you how to get a better deal on Rusty's games.
It's kind of dark because you're giving him less money, so that means the kids are gonna starve because he's poor now.
Yeah.
What are you doing to Rusty?
So well, you can buy everything at full price. But actually, I can describe the gameplay as you play baseball mini games, you fill out a punch card, and every now and then you get like a donut, or you get a like quest item, which is, you know, I'm saying quest item about this game, but you use the donuts to get a lower price you use the donut to start a conversation to try to haggle with Rusty. And there is a base price for all these games. You can get, like, there's the lowest possible price that the server will allow. Now, you can buy every game full price if you want. But they've included haggling down the money as part of the gameplay. And it's a very surreal thing, you know, because you can if you're a dumbass like rich kid and you have like $50 a day allowance, you could buy the whole thing right at the beginning without any kind of haggling whatsoever. The quest items like nose hair trimmers and stuff, that's just to help Rusty get back with his wife or get his life back on track, because he can't raise all 8 of his children, all 8 of his identical children. on his meager salary. I mean, he basically says he bought a bunch of baseball software from a company called Nintendo. You know, and not Nintendo. They said something like they came in. They sent 2 guys over to fix my toilet or something like that. It was Nintendo, and they made a bunch of baseball games on the 4DS. It's like it's like a tongue in cheek thing about Nintendo itself.
Or knockoffs off.
And it has all these baseball mini games, and no one wants to buy them anymore. So you can help Rusty out by buying out a stock of baseball themed mini games. Yeah, I mean, it's baseball themed mini games. It's timing. It's, you know, batting cage stuff, and you can only get the ones you want. So it's not like you're forced to play everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can get nothing, in fact, if you want. You still get the first game free.
Oh, that's an interesting game.
Yeah.
Not sold on the gameplay, but at least they made a really
the story is basically
unique scenario for
his wife. He has to learn how to take care of himself with his wife gone. His wife comes back and opens a diner where his shack used to be after a car crashed into him. I'm trying to remember if that was what happened or not. And the diner is there, and Rusty is still able to sell his baseball merchandise on a little rack next to the counter.
I think that covers. Rusty Bucket Bay.
That is what I know about Rusty's real deal baseball.
I want to find out what happens to Rusty.
Find out next time.
Rusty will
anyway,
be
we should.
Rusty will be a fighter in Smash Bros. He's winning the Smash Battle as we speak.
No. No, he's not.
Did you vote for him, Peg?
I don't know how to vote for that. I wrote in cloud on a bunch of pieces of paper and sent it to Nintendo. I don't know if they've considered those votes or not.
Uh-oh.
Thanks, Dag.
So you're responsible.
Thanks a lot.
I'm responsible for cloud.
That explains everything.
Is that a segue
to
our
next nice segue, Mario Maker? Right? That's 2 of the biggest games I've been playing recently. Do you guys want to chip in? What games have been taking up most of your game time?
I've been playing PC Backlog. That's all I've been doing, really. I haven't had the money to afford a lot of new games.
All right.
Such as life.
Okay, well, I've been playing through Yoshi's Woolly World. It's probably my main game, just sort of doing that little bit by bit. I've actually played more of the game just watching movies. Like, I'll have like a movie in the background, and like, or like Mystery Science Theater, where I don't really have to watch the movie and I'm just listening to the jokes while I'm like playing the game. It's very relaxing. It's a very relaxing platformer.
That's a very chill
for the most part. So it's very easy to multitask with it, unless you're in the special stages. The special stages, you need to pay attention, or you're gonna die many times.
I love the special stages; they're amazing.
God, I
just kind of go all out with the design, especially if you want to collect all the objects. Like, that's where the real kind of focused gameplay is.
Yeah, I just did the piranha plant one from World 4, I think it is, and
before,
like, constantly being chased. Like, that level. Is impossible to do 100% in one go. It is, period. That, like, that level alone is the reason why.
It's not impossible.
No, it's impossible. It is impossible.
It's not impossible. I've done.
No, you're a liar. Simple as shit, grub.
Don't make me turn on the Pirate Studio TV and demonstrate.
Go for it. I want to see it. I want to see 100% that.
It's still designed for you to be able to do it. Even though it's structured differently to Yoshi's Island, if you get 100% in one go, you get like a stamp on the results screen inside the level. So it is possible to do it for every level.
Show me your
stamps. I've done it with all the special stages.
Show me your stamps.
I'll have to play it again and screenshot it. If I feel like the need to prove myself, which I don't.
Yeah, but great.
But, it is extremely difficult.
Yeah, so I'm not going to really touch too much on it, but it's just a great platformer. I mean, Wii U has probably had some of the best platformers in history. I mean, you got Tropical Freeze, you got New Super Mario Brothers U, and like Yoshi's Woolly World. Those three alone, like, are like some of my ultimate favorites. Yoshi's Woolly World probably definitely has the best aesthetics, for sure. I'm not sure it quite beats Tropical Freeze, but like, I mean, Tropical Freeze has just some of the most ridiculous platforming, like, world themes, like, possible. I mean, so it's gonna be hard to beat that moving forward.
Yeah, Tropical Freeze is just extremely unique. Like, every stage is kind of like its own little world and adventure. It's so well constructed, like, inside itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every level sort of has its own unique feeling to it.
Right.
I consider Woolly
and then
World
outside
like
that.
God damn it, Billy.
The Woolly World's the same in that regard, just bit less.
Yeah, so I mean, great platformer, so worth if you like platformers. Even if you don't really like platformers and you have someone in the family that does like platformers, you should really at least give it a look. Especially for,
I think you should just buy them if you're a gamer, basically. They're amazing. 2D platforming, like, how do you not like 2D platforming?
Yeah,
well, if you're a game fucker-less, you won't like 2D platforming.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there are people that don't like platformers. I don't know why, but they do exist.
Well,
you I
see,
just
platformers require
they have
their precision.
Inner child locked away, screaming and for 2D platforming.
Even the easier ones do.
I can't think of another joke to that, so keep going.
Yeah, so
I think there's this idea that platformers are archaic. And that there is, like we should be, quote, beyond these kinds of games now. It's like if someone were to make just a knockdown, drag-out action movie, and they're like, aren't we beyond action movies, you know? We should be making comic book movies now, you know? It's, they want, like, it's like they'll drop a bunch of buzzwords, like open world or convergent or something like that, and they look at platformers as... It's sort of like their big target when I think about it. Because it's like platformers are games that are easy to get into. They don't have a bunch of like a side story bullshit. They don't have to pay a lot of people to make one. So when they sell a lot, I mean, it take what Nintendo probably had a team of what 30 people make New Super Mario Brothers U. Retro had all like 60 of their employees make Tropical Freeze. Mm-hmm. You know,
Tropical Freeze had a lot of luck. Budget and development time into it, like that's why it's so good. And platformers can still have that,
yeah,
like Yoshi's Woolly World. They spent like 5 years making that game because they still take gameplay mechanics seriously.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, I don't think 2D platformers are ever going to lose the stigma of, like, being an easier game to make, even though platformers probably are the hardest to, like, actually make a good one. Like, it's easy to throw platforms. I mean, look at Mario Maker is the perfect example of showing, like, it's very easy to make a platformer, but is it a good platformer is the question. And
yeah,
most are not, and there's a reason why they, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's just proof right there that, like, platformers are not easy to make, especially, like, if you're making like it's like again with New Super Mario Brothers, Tropical Freeze and Yoshi's Woolly World have a lot of elements that are only found in a single stage. So they put a lot of effort into a single freaking stage, and they have like they do this like multiple times down the road. So a lot of effort goes into them.
That's in a lot of regards. Yeah, not just the gameplay, but also the music, like. Yoshi's Woolly World has some music tracks, and same with Tropical Freeze that only exist in one stage.
Mm-hmm.
An entire atmosphere that exists in one stage with its own unique objects, gameplay, mechanics, and it's
the subtitle for Super Mario Maker. If Mario Maker had a subtitle, it would be something like, "It's not as easy as you thought it was, huh?" Or, "If you're so smart, make it your goddamn self."
It did make me appreciate real Nintendo levels a bit more.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it makes you think about those things. Like, okay, people are going to get stuck in my level if I don't put this here and that there and everything like that.
That is definitely
when you play a well-designed platformer, you don't think about that because they have all that stuff covered and have all this like subtle design that makes it sort of intuitive without you noticing.
Another thing you have to with Mario Maker is that the engine does have its limits. Because, like, some real background, I decided to do recreate the Transylvania level from DuckTales, and I couldn't get too far because I ran out of blocks. and the screen itself, the screen itself is like only so high, but it was a fun little task to do.
You got to keep that game running at a smooth.
Yeah, you got to use those like opportunities to be creative. Like maybe change a room up or just say like, this is half the level. Reasons.
Well, it was really fun to like try and see. Okay, I could do this in this game. What can I do with this game? And Grub, I take it you and I think you played that level. Did you? Have you ever?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever played? Have you played ever played the original DuckTales?
No, I've only played the remaster on Wii.
Okay, yeah, they're basically this. It's basically the same game. It's just a remake. I have to take into account. Scrooge can pogo cane, but Mario can't. So, I have to add these items just to make it a little fair. Maybe and add some bonus.
Yeah, that's exactly how you go about. Like, I think people put too much emphasis on recreating things exactly, and that you got to focus on recreating, like, the feeling of a stage and sort of, like, the purpose of it instead of, you know, block for block.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Exactly. You know, I made a stage based on Metroid Prime, and you can't recreate that.
Oh.
You just got to, like, sort of recreate the feeling when you enter the area with music blocks or whatever. You got to... It's fun to get creative and think about, like, how you felt when you played that level and... If you can recreate that, what tools you have to recreate that.
Mm-hmm. And now that the team has gotten their feet wet with Mario Maker, they need to make Zelda Maker next. Yeah, 2D Zelda Maker. It'd be great. Can't wait for it.
That would be amazing.
Like, not 3D Zelda, obviously. That would be impossible. 2D Zelda, I think, definitely is something that could be doable. And I would love to see it.
Oh God, I would absolutely love that.
I wonder if the industry doesn't like Mario Maker or if they would hate Zelda Maker, because imagine all those shitty indie games that are basically like, I'm making my own little indie Zelda game, and or I'm making my own little feels-based walk right contemplate life
feels-based
platformer, and you could do those in Mario Maker and a potential Zelda Maker. Better than you could ever do it with like a shitty Flash engine or Unity or something.
Yeah,
lesbianism optional.
Yeah. I learned more about Waluigi in Mario Maker.
Oh my God, not that one. Jeez.
Yes! Waluigi is here. No. He's ready for you.
He's arrived.
God, that thing is so dark. Oh, God.
Okay, so Are there any other big games we've been playing recently? I think that's... We can wrap that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so... Recently, there's been a Nintendo Direct. The first one since E3. It's quite a wait.
Yeah.
But...
It was worth it.
Obviously, a lot of things happened. Rest in peace, yeah. Satoru Iwata.
Iwata.
That's
awesome. Yeah.
We love you, Iwata.
Iwata, sir. It's always such a shame to know that he went thinking that most of his fans hated him.
No, we that love you, Iwata.
That was the worst.
I know. It's...
We love you. We'll give you all the love that you need.
Yeah, fuck the Metroid.
I still
fan.
Love
we
him.
Still
he's
love
up
him.
There.
He thought they failed them.
Smiling. He's playing video games right now. He's catching up on all the games he couldn't play when he was busy.
He's playing
around.
Video games for Yamauchi.
He might be playing with Yamauchi. They're playing Smash Brothers and having an argument.
No. Remember, Yamauchi didn't like playing video games. He always had an underling play them.
Yamauchi is flowering.
I thought he just hated RPGs.
No, he hated Squaresoft.
It's not like he hated video games. He just couldn't play them. He saw the value in their creation, but...
Mm-hmm.
But he was never much of a gamer. He was always the kind of guy that liked to sling insults at third parties a lot, which is something I think Kimishima ought to try now.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that seems necessary.
At least
she'll
feel better.
More than ever. So yeah, that's. I was quite happy the Nintendo Direct came back. Mm-hmm. Like my overall feeling about it was, you know, it's just nice to see it back. The content itself wasn't their best Direct. Just personally, I didn't really care for that much RPGs, but there were some good ones there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but overall, I was just really happy to feel it back, just to see everyone get excited for a Direct again and just get that Nintendo feeling back and not sort of move on, but just kind of establish the presence of Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, I mean, I liked what they showed. I mean, like, unfortunately, Twilight Princess HD was not... the surprise that it should have been because it was leaked a couple weeks beforehand, but I felt it was worth it. I mean, but that's just my personal
still didn't
bias.
Believe that. Just because there were so much rumors.
Yeah,
I mean, they were so-called proof of the shot, but you never know what could be a mistake or whatnot. So I was still somewhat of a surprise to see it.
Yeah,
officially confirmed.
It was maybe it was just again, it's my personal bias, but I mean, I love Twilight Princess not because it's like the mature Zelda, but because I mean. The side characters are some of the best in the series. Midna is that the absolute best, like, companion character in the series. I don't think
definitely.
She's going to be topped, unfortunately.
Bullshit, Navi.
Oh, that's...
Hey!
You never know what they can create. You can't say nothing can be topped.
Navi's great.
I definitely agree with the unique atmosphere of the game.
It looks good. The retexture looks good. And, like, I'm glad that they didn't... like overdo it. Like they improved it just enough that it keeps its original feel, but like it looks nice. So I know a lot of people were disappointed that it doesn't look like the original Zelda demo that they showed like way back when, but it's just like that would take just
well, yeah, sort of sort
of
like
that thing
from Twilight Princess.
Right,
E3
exactly.
2000? Is that what you're
Yeah, that thing. Well, oh, no. The Wii U
tech demo. Yeah.
Oh,
that's like a different Link and everything. But if someone expected that for Twilight Princess, then
yeah. So I mean, a lot of people are disappointed with that. But the game looks good. I'm looking forward to seeing what additions they make to the game, like what little things that
yeah,
they
gameplay wise. I'm quite curious.
A few of the things I'm hoping that they do. I'm hoping they get rid of the 5 rupee bug that like showed up every single time you restarted the game. that like reflected the.
It'd be nice, but I didn't really think that's a big deal. It's like 2 seconds. I mean,
I know, but I'm obsessed.
Have to remove every little inconvenience.
But it is something that can be easily fixable too, though. So if they're going in to fix things and add things, I think they can fix that. I've just been trying to think of what else they could potentially add, like in terms of just like making things a little bit simpler, like they did with Wind Waker, like with the infinite, well, I call it the infinity sail that lets you sail wherever you go.
Oh yeah, that was the best thing.
I don't think that's necessary because Epona is really fast.
No, I know. That's
like,
trying to think of
even the wolf is fast.
In terms of just like accessibility, Twilight Princess is pretty straightforward, and like I mean there's not a really whole lot they can add in that aspect, so I'm wondering if they might
should make it more complicated.
Maybe add probably add a little bit more to do with your rupees, because that was the one problem with Twilight Princess.
Yeah, the economy
you
had, was
so many, so many rupees, and you never get, you can never
you get them like at the start of the game. Your wallet just becomes a burden from then on.
Like, I feel that's what the rupee suit was for, was for you to just intentionally drain your rupee count so you could collect more rupees. That was the only purpose of it.
Yeah. I think they could solve that maybe with, like, some Miiverse implementation. Like, maybe somehow you can, like, buy things off people or send rupees away or something
like that.
How about
the figurines from Wind Waker? You have the figure.
Oh, if they want to add a whole bunch of those.
Yeah, figurine shop, and you have to buy them with rupees. That's a good idea. I like that. Yeah, let's go with that. Let's call them right now. Let's call Tantalus right now. Say, hey.
I'll email Nintendo after this podcast, and yeah. Look forward to seeing it in the next Direct.
So, I mean, looking forward to that.
So what do you think overall of the Direct?
Oh, Christ.
Don't answer it. No.
Still have a phone there? Jesus.
By Studios? Have to answer that. We'll be right back.
Who's been paying the phone bill?
Hello, you've reached the Patriots in the Pi Studio.
Yes, hello. This is Michael Pachter. I just heard you talking about the Nintendo Direct, and I just had to have my say.
Oh, go ahead.
I just want to express how disappointed I am.
About what specifically, Michael?
I've got two words for you. NX.
That's two letters, but never mind. That wasn't meant to be part of the Direct.
Why not?
Probably because it's still 2015 and they're focusing on Wii U.
Nobody cares about the Wii U. It's dead. Time to move on, Nintendo.
Well, you know, a lot of people are still playing it. You excited about Star Fox, Michael?
No, I don't have time to play video games.
Is that because you're always talking about them?
It's not easy being an expert, you know. I worked hard to get all these degrees.
I'm sure you did, Michael. I'm not gonna question that. But why do you want to see the NX if you don't play video games?
Because Nintendo needs to fix their third-party relationships. It's just so essential to secure Call of Duty and FIFA for the launch. They have to create a stable environment for third-party support.
What does this have to do with anything?
No excuses this time, Nintendo.
Mate, calm down. I think you need to play a video game.
Well, maybe if they were on mobile, I'd be able to play them. You think I'm going to carry a 3DS everywhere? I don't think so. That's another disappointment
mate.
About the Nintendo Direct.
Calm
down. Where are the mobile games?
Michael.
Nintendo wants to increase their
Stop.
User base.
Michael.
They have to start listening to me.
And we're going to have to
I'm
end this
I'm telling you,
here.
They have no chance without
Goodbye.
Third-party relations!
Yeah, that was Michael Pachter. Pachter with an O, not with an A. That's our freelance analyst. He has a lot of degrees and opinions, and
yeah,
he likes us a lot.
Yeah,
so,
haven't heard from him in a while. He must have been going off getting his 6th or 7th degree. I don't know how many he's got now.
Who does he work for
yeah,
again?
He's a very busy man.
I know he's freelance.
He's freelance. He works for the truth.
He works out of his parents' basement.
He works.
Oh, that's sad. Hard to hear that.
He's got a degree in basements, so he knows how to take care of
himself. He's got a degree in video game analysis. And if you ever ask him where it's from, he gets incredibly cagey and defensive.
Oh my god. So yeah, going back to the Direct, there in terms of other surprises, I mean, I guess Linkle in Hyrule Warriors is a bit of a surprise, if you could say, even though sort of we all saw it coming in a way.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I was still surprised. I didn't expect them to sort of listen to people about that.
Yeah, I feel like her story was a little bit more interesting when she was originally like Link's daughter from the future. But like
that,
whatever.
Would have been interesting.
I mean, yeah. But
where did you get that from? Is that what they said, or is this
that
like,
was like
something
that
a fan?
Was, that was well, that, no, that was from like the original concept, like way back, like
okay.
Because remember, I mean, Linkle,
I think she's a cool character. Linkle it's just was nice to have a new character.
Yeah, Linkle was a concept, and they ditched it. But then, because of the fan, when like the Hyrule like Historia came out, and like they're like, oh man, look at this! Like everyone like loved the design so much that they actually decided to create the character for real. Like so, I mean, that's fine. I mean, it's a nice character. It's a unique character. I have no complaints about the design of the character. So, whatever. That's fine. So, good. No problems with that. What else? What else was in the direct? It's been a while. The new Star Fox footage looked good.
Looked
better than it did at E3. So the game, you can definitely tell the game's coming together. Really looking forward to Star Fox. Again, I'm looking forward to the first good Star Fox in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Star Fox 64 is a good game, and it was on the 3DS.
Yeah, but it's the same game though. Like this is the first
original. So Star Fox Zero, you hear they talk about like it's a reimagining. Or something.
But it's still a new game. It's even if it's a reimagining, it's still new stuff. Come on, don't play semantics with me, Dick. But I wasn't a huge fan of Command. I didn't like. I wasn't. I mean,
Didn't Assault you enjoy
was
ripping
good straight? When it was in the air. I mean, Assault was good when it was in the air, but like all the on foot missions were really. So, it'll be nice to go back to return back to a full vehicle, on rail shooter for sure.
Except we have to have that little robot walk around, right? There's an on foot mission right there.
Well, you're not really. You're on foot for like 10, 15 seconds. Shut up, Dig. Shut up. let's see. What else? Like, do they show in terms of?
They show more footage of themselves.
Oh yeah, Dragon. I guess the big things would be like all the Square Enix stuff. The first like that Dragon Quest VII is coming out. I'm
God, glad finally, Jesus.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad it's coming out, even though I'm personally probably not going to get it. I'm not a big Dragon Quest fan. But I'm happy for those that like the series that it's finally coming over, because, you know, those people were sort of getting ready to slit their wrists over it. So I'm glad that's coming over. I am disappointed that it does seem that Nintendo is the one that's in charge of localizing it. I don't know why Square Enix can't put on some big boy pants and actually do some work for a change on a Nintendo system.
Yeah, they didn't need to get Sony to localize Dragon Quest Heroes, did they? They did that themselves.
And it tanked.
So, I mean, I feel that's incredibly lazy of them. In Dragon Quest VIII...
Is it really Nintendo's job to keep Dragon Quest a popular series for Square Enix if they don't even care themselves?
Yeah. Square Enix's CEO is such a fucking dunce. Good lord.
I don't know who's making the decisions in regards to the localization or not, but I mean, it is questionable that's like Nintendo is being basically strong-armed into doing all the localizations. I mean, so. But whatever. That's
makes me wonder why they finally relented. Was it that all the ports of the Dragon Quest games on mobile phones, it just didn't sell very well? And they were like, well, we still have the 3DS games. We could probably localize those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they finally relented and allowed. It was everybody asking him like every quarter. It was like, "Where's Dragon Quest VII? Where's Dragon Quest VII? Where's Dragon Quest VII? What's this Heroes game? We don't care about that. Where's Dragon Quest VII?"
Mm-hmm.
And they just kept ducking and dodging and announcing mobile games no one would buy. You know, it's annoying. And they keep talking up Final Fantasy 15, which I don't even know if anybody even cares about it anymore. I don't even know if Square Enix cares about it anymore.
Yeah. So I mean, it's
you know,
they didn't really show they never really confirmed one way or another like who's doing the localization work for all these games, Dragon Quest VII, Dragon Quest VIII, Final Fantasy Explorer. They didn't really say in Bravely Default, but they didn't show that, did they? They didn't show that this time. So those three, but like I'm just going to assume
they're publishing it.
Yeah, I'm just going to assume that Nintendo's localizing all of them. If someone wants to prove me wrong on that,
Okay, sorry, I just had to go to a little toilet break. I just want to say I'm really excited about Dragon Quest VII, just finally being able to play it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just gave up on the idea because Square Enix were just, you know, you could tell they just didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, either Nintendo was going to do it themselves or it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing it just because I love Dragon Quest 8 and 9. Mm-hmm. And I've never played 7. It's been hard to find. It's like the PS1 version is it. Mm-hmm. And it's so rare. So, yeah.
Well, Dragon Quest 7 was originally the worst game in the entire series.
Oh.
7.
And they used the 3DS version to sort of fix most of people's problems with it.
Yeah.
What were the problems?
That's really another reason why I was anxious for it to come over. Well, the problem with Dragon Quest VII was that it was incredibly grindy, even for an RPG from 2000.
Oh.
Okay. It had this weird adventure game item usage thing that you had to play the game for like 30 minutes before anything. Like the first 30 minutes was like just the sort of giant tutorial, you know. So they heard the complaints.
I don't mind those, as long as they're like well done and charming. Dragon Quest VIII took me a lot of time to beat, but I never really felt like it was work or grinding or anything, so I'm not sure if 7 is different in that regard, but...
Also, I think 7 is supposed to be, like, the longest game in the series, too, isn't it? So, like, get prepared
for... Well, remember that they have used this remake to address most of the issues, so that's why I'm actually anxious to play it, because I played the original 7, I put it down, I was like, this is boring.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully a new translation... You know, what makes this the text poppy, because even if you are playing a grindy RPG, it's always fun to see a little joke or some kind of flavor text. And when you had Enix of America, remember, this is pre-Square Enix. When you had Enix of America translate this, you might as well have Google do it.
Oh.
Well, at least they actually did something, unlike Square Enix now.
Yeah.
Although they're trying to get their act together, like they're getting their image together, but...
Mm-hmm. Like... My brother said that he's actually glad that Nintendo's localizing like Bravely Second and Dragon Quest 7 and 8 and all that, because he was pretty sure that Square Enix would probably fuck it up anyway.
Oh. One of the things
like Bravely Default especially, I think was important for Nintendo just because it's kind of like a new series like for them now. And it was a really refreshing game on 3DS that they just wanted to sort of add to the lineup, whereas Square Enix themselves don't really give a shit about that.
Hmm.
So I think it's better Nintendo handled Bravely Default.
I remember they were so surprised that Bravely Default sold well. Like, it ended up beating like Final Fantasy 13, 3, Lightning Strikes Back to Return Again or whatever. and just imagine that meeting. It was like, well, here's Bravely Default. It sold 1.5 million. Here's Final Fantasy 13.3, Alpha plus Omega, whatever. And it sold maybe like 700,000 worldwide because people were finally fucking tired of this goddamn character in this world. And they're like, no, so not only is this game selling more, it's cheaper to make. And... it's like right then was the sort of hand-wringing, because I don't have any proof for it, but I think there's like a sect inside of Square Enix, like this little corporate group that just all they live to do is just be on their knees in front of Sony, which explains a lot of their crazy ass decisions sometimes. And when they saw that Bravely Default had more or less outsold everything they published that year, I bet there was just hand-wringing and anger, like, how dare this game be successful against our best intentions?
You know? Oh, the remnants from the Squaresoft like, days.
Honestly, I don't think there's like that much depth to their scheming. I think they're just really lazy, and Sony probably pays them a lot to localize stuff fast, and so they do that. And they just kind of expect Nintendo to approach them the same way with, like, buckets of cash. Like, hey, please give us your games.
Yeah.
And they just kind of don't care enough.
Yeah, that's probably what more likely is. So,
Nintendo is a very proud company. They don't debase themselves just so a third party might give them the time of day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that leads to them not having good relationships, but it also means that they can come with a position of strength. And they'll say, you know what? We'll localize those games. And they give a wink. And then and Square Enix is like, yes, please, somebody localize these.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's just a bullshit situation. Those shouldn't have to exist.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind Nintendo doing it because they do...
Go ahead.
I don't mind Nintendo doing it because they've despite anybody grousing on the internet about certain like localization changes or any kind of like American flavor text or something like that, they are still the best translators in the biz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, They are the gold standard by which all are compared. And
yep, they take it seriously.
If they have the game in their care, it will come out ready for Western consumption in a way that isn't like weeaboo anime snacking, anime pocky chewing. You know, have to have watched 50 anime series to get most of the joke stuff. You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Yokai Watch. I haven't played that game yet. It looks interesting, but there's nothing more Japanese than something like Yokai Watch, and they're trying to bring this incredibly Japanese game over.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they're succeeding or not, but it looks like concept. Yeah.
It's hard to tell. It's just launched. It seems to be getting a pretty good reaction. I've seen a few people playing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of curious about it myself, just because it looks like a fun game. I don't know much about it. It's just the atmosphere, the vibes. It gives out good vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, it's a game for kids, like, and we're actually sorely lacking those. Yeah. We got these kids hooked up to the Minecraft opium, and they don't know what a video game is anymore. They think it's just walking around with hacking squares and trying to make Star Trek ships or something like that.
Yeah.
And imagine if they thought that's all gaming was from now on. They're like, oh no, I have to, this is boring now. All video games are boring. Goodbye. I'm instead going to read young adult novels.
Oh no.
Well, that's all fair and that's all nice and good, but you know what really made me excited? Smash Brothers Cloud.
Cloud Smash Brothers?
God. The initial reaction.
That was definitely a surprise.
Not a good surprise, but a surprise nonetheless.
It was hilarious when I was watching the stream with Deg, and like for whatever reason his stream got like 10 seconds behind mine, and I'm seeing this reveal before him, and it just starts off with like you just see Final Fantasy. I'm like, oh my god, are you freaking serious? And like Dick's like, what's going on? Uh-huh. And I'm like, so obviously oh my god, it's Cloud.
Studios.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, it's Cloud. Oh my god. And then like it showed off his Advent Children costume. Like, Advent Children's absolute garbage. So I was like, oh, his Advent Children's outfit. And Deg's like, no, that's his regular outfit. And then just a few seconds later, you just hear him go, oh god, it's Advent Children outfit. It's just so funny.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I'm not really that big on Cloud himself. Like, I don't really care about Final Fantasy that much. But I think it was a good announcement just for the shock value. Like, yeah, I found it. I mean, entertaining.
It's
not just the fact that he's in the game, but the reactions as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, I couldn't.
I think that's what Smash is for, basically.
Yeah.
Celebrate gaming.
I legitimately cannot think of another third-party character that would have made as big a splash as Cloud. Honestly, like he probably is the biggest one. So like they did a good job on actually getting him. Unlike you know Sony in regards to PlayStation All Stars. But like they, I mean, so yeah, I mean, it looks like they're trying to make.
Yeah, it's just bizarre that he's not in that.
Yeah, it's good that they're making him a unique looking character. I mean, his model looks good, the attacks look good. So yeah, I mean, not a big fan of Cloud, not a big huge fan of Final Fantasy VII, but I mean, it looking like I was. Initially sort of like, oh my god, why'd they pick him? So, but like, I can see, like, after I let like that sort of initial reaction settle down, and I can see that like it is a good character to have just for the, again, the legacy value of it, and just having all these classic characters sort of coming together is really 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 kind of cool. Like with Mega Man,
if they get Crash Bandicoot and Lara Croft, it'll be a better Smash.
There will be no Crash.
If they get Crash Bandicoot and Lara Croft into this game, then it will be a better PlayStation All-Stars game than PlayStation All-Stars.
There will be no Crash in Smash. It's just not happening.
to really rub like the salt in, they could get the real version of Dante or something.
They keep doing the same thing.
I remember, this is a Trojan horse that brings Final Fantasy stuff into Smash Brothers. And considering music's a good part of Smash Brothers, Final Fantasy music is always more welcome, especially anything before 13.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to add like a lot to the game.
Well,
in that
hold on, Deg. Hold on, Deg. They might do a Sonic and just bring in all the crappy music. That's what they've done to Sonic.
Oh, oh yeah.
Half the Sonic songs are good.
No. Most of the Sonic stuff is the garbage.
Look, anybody that doesn't like Cloud and Smash Brothers, just protect your starters. You didn't get fucking Lightning, because that was probably just as
That would have been the worst. Been so upset if it was Lightning. Oh.
But anybody that doesn't like Cloud, especially the NeoGAF salt, that was look. These people made Final Fantasy VII. These PlayStation dudes. They made Final Fantasy VII like the go-to Final Fantasy game when people talk about Final Fantasy. Mm. So it's their fault that Nintendo didn't pick somebody more obscure, like that Cecil from 4, or that shirtless guy from 12. What was his name? Van, something like that. The reason Cloud is number one is because Final Fantasy VII is the game people think about when they think Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm. So that's your fault, not Nintendo's. They're like, yep, we need a Final Fantasy character. Who do we should give it? I don't know. How about Cloud? Because he's the one everybody thinks about.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So.
Oh, yeah. I think about Cloud every day.
It's Raiden when they got Snake in.
Yeah. Well, I think Konami's forgotten about Snake already. Snake, who's that? Is that a PC game?
There's some snakes in my garden. Go get rid of them.
Kojima, you're on vacation for permanently.
Kojima's on vacation
permanently. It's not coming back from vacation.
So I'm just remembering when they initially said that, and when guy NeoGAF said that Snake is on vacation. It's kind of the thing that a bumbling dad says after he backs over the family pet in the morning. So Kojima's now on a farm where he has a lot of room to run around and play with other Kojimas.
Well, the comment
they can all
share
their ideas together without linking them.
Yeah. The comment I liked was the one where Konami announced the new update to the online stuff where it involved more microtransactions and stuff. And one guy said oh man, Kojima's going to be so pissed when he comes back from vacation.
They're closing Kojima Productions LA. And I was like, man, Kojima's going to be really weirded out when he comes back from vacation.
Yeah, that one too. Oh my God. So,
Konami's just trying as hard as they can to keep up the fiction that Hideo Kojima still works at Konami, that Kojima Productions is still in business, and that they haven't just set their entire game studio on fire for the insurance money.
So we sort of got off topic. We just started talking about Kojima and Konami when it was
Casual
Smash Brothers.
Smash Brothers. Basically, we're talking about the Nintendo Direct. So we've spoken about most of the content.
Mm-hmm.
What else was in there? Mario and Luigi, Paper Jam. Nice trailer for that. Fun. You guys excited for that?
Yeah, I am. I haven't seen too much. We really haven't seen too much of the game. Remember, we didn't actually get a full trailer like Europe did, and I didn't actually go back to look at it.
That's right.
So,
because we get it this year, you get it January.
Yeah, so I put it out sort of on the back burner. So I'll probably be going into Paper Jam probably the most blind that I've gone into a game from Nintendo for a long time. So it'll be interesting to see how much I enjoy it.
Yeah, that's a pretty good approach for any story heavy game, I would say.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm interested mainly just because I haven't played a bad Mario and Luigi game, so I'm hoping it can.
Yeah, they're really talented developers. I'm looking forward mostly to the new gameplay elements they add. Because in Dream Team specifically, they added so many new sort of combat options and stuff like that, and they're all just so much fun to execute battles in those games.
Mm.
Paper Jam, it looks like they've just gone completely crazy. This new 3D little battle mode, and I mean, it doesn't look that exciting, but it probably has interesting mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
And the battles themselves using the paper, don't know how it's going to work, but I'm sure they have some great ideas. I'm looking forward to checking out.
Mm-hmm. The Mario and Luigi series has always thrived on its battle system, to me personally. But with each game, they have evolved, and each time it gets better.
It's like the one main RPG series that actually gets more interactive with the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Because, it's I won't say it's totally execution-based, but if you get all the execution right in the game, like, you don't have to level up.
Right, yeah, you don't...
If you time your button presses perfectly, you don't... Like, you can sort of defend efficiently.
Well,
you know, if you have a perfect fight, it doesn't matter what level you are.
I wouldn't say that you don't have to level up. I made that mistake in the very first Mario & Luigi game, where, like, I think it was, like, the second or third time I played through the game, I was like, I'm too lazy. I don't feel like... I'm just going to sort of, like, speed rush the game. The last boss fight took me 2 hours... 150 minutes to beat the final boss because I was doing like 3 damage to her every single time I hit her. It was just ridiculous.
Well,
like,
the point is, you can still beat the boss.
Yeah, but like it was. Maybe
you should get good.
Are you paying attention to that?
Well, the damage counter is still.
I suck at video games. That's what I heard.
I was doing good.
Remember, I was dodging attacks for 2 hours too. So yes, I was. I was good, Deg. I was good. Just wasn't. This took too long.
Mario.
There's a nice dynamic to the gameplay when you can sort of create a challenge by like avoiding grinding.
All the enemies have their own little tells. It's like an action. Yep. It's sort of like an action game, but in an RPG, it's really fun.
Yeah. You got to be paying a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Great series.
Yeah, Nintendo. I haven't known Nintendo to make an incredibly terrible game on purpose yet. Like, I can't think of the last Nintendo game that's like, this is just trash. Like, say Assassin's Creed Unity or something like that. Like, I've yet to see Nintendo just like, you know, not care about the quality of a game, even if it's something that I guess reviewers don't end up.
Animal Crossing like, Amiibo or Festival.
Well, you know.
I'd be okay with that if it wasn't like a full price game they're trying to pass off as, hey, it's Animal Crossing on Wii U.
It's a way to sell Amiibo. That's all it exists for. It's not very subtle.
Well, maybe Amiibo needs to stop selling outselling games. Maybe then we can have a discussion about it.
Maybe I need to stop.
So many people are obsessed with Amiibo who don't play games anymore. It upsets me.
Well, you can't...
I remember all the hand-wringing about Amiibo availability, and it was last year. It was like, oh my god, I can't get the Captain Falcon ones, and right now you can pretty much find any Amiibo you want, except, I mean, there's some that need to be shipped out, like, say, Dark Pit or something, and it's like, it's this bizarre situation where everybody who's whining, like, now that they can get it, they stop whining, and it's like they're just crying because, you know, capitalism is a thing. There's limited quantities of these things. Well, they didn't get one. Instead of it being like, damn, I need to get quicker on the ball. They're like, the entire way Nintendo does Amiibo is bad because I didn't get one. I mean,
well, Deg, they might have stopped complaining because they did get one.
Yeah.
So
the thrill is gone. They might have to play a video game now.
That should say something good in regards to that. There's less complaining means that they're doing a little bit better in regards to availability. So,
that's... Amiibo been like a major success story for Nintendo, all things considered. So
yeah,
it's made them a shitload of money. How many have they sold now? More than 12 million.
I think it was more than that. It was more than 20.
I think it was like 30 million, or something. Huh? I don't know.
That's something easy to look up on the internet. Nintendo reports 21 million, more than 21 million sold, along with 8 million Amiibo cards from Animal Crossing. So that's almost 30 million Amiibo things, so to speak.
Yep.
I think it's nice that they've established that kind of line. So, like, if you like a character, you can probably buy their Amiibo by now. And I've got a couple. I've got Yoshi, Donkey Kong, Samus.
Still waiting for Robin and Lucina. Robin and Lucina are still dead.
Are they not out yet?
They did not release the second line of them yet, so I'm still waiting for those.
Okay.
Well, remember that any that have been considered exclusive to retailers, it's only exclusive at launch. I mean, you can get Shulks at Best Buy now, so you know, just be patient. They'll make them. What Pro, who's unfortunately not part of this podcast right now, but what Pre noticed is that every time they have a new release of a game, like in a series, all of a sudden, they have another run of these Amiibos that you can get.
Yep.
So when Fire Emblem releases, you'll probably be able to grab a Lucina.
I hope so. Yeah, they'll be.
Yeah, I like they can only produce so many, so they've got to be smart with their distribution.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at how many of these they have to make. There's like, how many amiibos are there? There's like 60, 70 probably.
Yeah, a lot.
And if they made one for everybody that owned a Wii, it'd be like 700 million of these little. Let's be honest, they're toys or little collectibles. Mm-hmm. You know,
they're pretty good
and
collectibles.
Even the Rubik's Cube didn't sell more than 300 million units.
Mm.
So.
The only thing I regret with the Amiibo line is that there is no Xenoblade Chronicles X Amiibo. I'm depressed.
Not yet.
Well, it would have come out by now. I mean, the game came out earlier this year.
They would have used that to sell the game.
Yeah.
Sort of like Chibi Robo.
I'm disappointed, I'm still looking forward to the game. Can't wait.
Speaking of which, who's going to pre-order the Cloud Amiibo? Because you know we're fucking getting one.
Oh, yeah. The thing of Xenoblade Chronicles X is coming out soon.
Yep, it's the big holiday game.
That's probably the last thing we should talk about in the direct.
Yeah, the pre-orders have been looking pretty good. The special edition looks fantastic. It's looking forward to the game. Only a couple more weeks. I should go hibernate for these last 2 weeks because I'm going stir crazy waiting for it.
It's amazing.
Yeah, game looks great. I'm playing through, like, I didn't mention it at the beginning about games I'm playing through right now, but I'm playing through Xenoblade Chronicles 3D. Just to sort of get prepared for it. Try not to play too much just so I don't like sort of get a little burnout and grinding.
Burnout
and grinding. But even though it is a very different
game. These are burnout on a shitty game.
Yeah, Dick, shut up.
I think after playing a lot of that on 3DS, you're going to be even more impressed by the graphics and the world design.
Yeah, so.
I'm totally hyped for the fact that ridiculous. You get to fly around in a giant mech. That just looks amazing.
Yeah, it just looks fun to explore.
The world looks incredible.
And that's the thing, that is what an open world should be. An open world should be fun to explore. And that is something that open world games have really sort of failed on in recent years. Like, they've sort of...
Yeah, it's like the difference between wanting to do something and doing something because it's like a chore, like a checklist in the game.
Right, yeah. So it's like, games have in open worlds, like... In a lot of other open world games, which I don't want to mention any specific ones because sort of someone will
Fallout 4, or Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, I'm not mentioning names here. Open world exists as just a place to put like an objective, and like it's not a like you don't like I don't feel like it's not fun to explore those kind of games. Like it's like yes, there's some interesting locations here and there, but it's just like. It's just not, there's no sensation of wonder or like just...
Yeah, like I think curiosity has to be the driving force for mm-hmm. those games to be fun. All
right.
That's not really my genre, but I get into them sometimes. Like, for example, in Grand Theft Auto 5, like, I loved the submarine collecting mm-hmm. because I could just tune out, just explore because I wanted to, but the rest of the game... The story, the force-fed missions were...
Is there anything to actually even see down there? I mean, like, from what I've seen...
Not really. It's very bland.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It's like, just relaxing.
If they actually put some stuff in there, a bunch of Easter eggs or something else like that, that'd be a little bit better, but apparently there's, like, a UFO Easter egg, but I think that's just one thing underwater.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
there was, like, a dead body somewhere. Spoilers.
Yeah. No, not a dead body. Not in a Grand Theft Auto game.
That's the thing I've been recently I've been trying to get back into Lego City Undercover for the Wii U, and like the story, the characters, it's a fun game. It's just same thing with open worlds. Like you get bored of the place because it just feels the same. But like
of collecting billions of blocks.
Yeah, but the game, but the story itself, like the story.
That's probably my gripe with that. The collectibles. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah, the story itself was fantastic. Like, the voice, like, the characters were great. The voice acting was phenomenal. And...
Mm.
It was really funny.
It was hilarious. Especially, because there were some obvious, references to movies and such, like, in the very beginning of the game. And...
Yeah, not just references, but, like, the writing itself was just a really self-aware... game. It didn't really hold anything back.
Yeah, but again, the same
thing. I think all Lego games are like that, but this one like has its own setting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that covers pretty much everything, I think, in terms of the direct.
Yeah.
Yes,
when is Kojima going to get off vacation?
Well, he's enjoying his vacation forever.
Yep.
So, just leave it
up. Yeah, we'll let him enjoy himself. We won't disturb Kojima. We have his number right here, but we're not going to call him.
But yeah, like it's been a good year. Looking forward to see how the next year of games goes.
Yeah, I think like Splatoon itself has made this year amazing for me. That's I just love that game so much. And all right, I'll wrap this up now. Good to be back in the Pi Studio, and yeah. Hope you all enjoyed this.
Yep, we'll see you back. Time. See you back in a couple weeks, just like last week. No.
Yeah, a couple of years. Ago. Wait, weeks?
No, yeah, weeks. No, not years.
Weeks. No, you're spoiling it. No, it was even your idea.
No.
All right, we'll be back at an undisclosed time at an undisclosed location.
Yep.
Next there won't be maggots and carcasses around the studio.
Please be excited.
Wait, we could try to talk about NX, and we'll just talk about that for 5 hours, and it'll mostly be me talking about how they should go back to cartridges.
Oh, God. No, please spare us. There's a lot to talk about. Please spare us the spec.
I stuck to directing this one so it wouldn't be 5 hours long.
We'll fast.
All right, that's it. All right. We've got to wrap it up before we spend 5 minutes wrapping it up.
All right. See you next time.
All right, bye, everyone.
See you next time, guys. Thanks for listening.
And now a word from our sponsors. The man, the legend, the one and only Michael Proctor. Coming to a bookstore near you, a tale of bravery, heartbreak, courage, and guessing. I am an analyst. The Michael Proctor Prediction Predicament. Read about the humble beginnings of Michael Proctor. All the way back to when he was a kid and he tried to boot up his Nintendo and it wouldn't start. Read all the details of his very first prediction of Sega Saturn's industry domination. And follow Michael on his journey through life. Pre-order the Collector's Edition and receive a special music CD of Proctor himself performing all his greatest tweets.
I think Nintendo is unlikely to manufacture more than 1 million units a month.
Michael Proctor, Michael Proctor, Michael Proctor.
Limited time only.
Why isn't Mario on iPhone? It's a great idea.
Michael Proctor.
Proctor in the house.
Predicted sales 10 billion.